Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and today we're bringing you a rebroadcast of Radio Skid Row 88.9 FM Breakfast Show from the 16th of February 2012. The show includes myself, Herriwood Fenton, and Jack Frost, the show host, and various other guests. Hope you enjoy it.
We are in New South Wales. We are going to start digging uranium in New South Wales. Well, we've got coal seam gas, and now we have uranium digging. So it's just, like you said, Max, we're turning into one. It's going to be one big crater.
Well, that's what they're doing to Australia. They're basically strip mining the whole country, you know. And we've got this, yeah, I mean, anybody who's ever flown across Australia and had a look at what the centre of this country looks like, I mean, they call it the Great Sandy Desert because it's just this great sandy desert. That's all it is. I mean, it is a bleak, barren desert, this country. And we've got these tiny little strips of arable land around the outside of the country. Not even around the entire outside of the country. Yeah. Mainly just up the east coast.
That's right.
And they're gonna mine it all. So we're not gonna have any arable land left. And saying, oh, it's good for the economy. Oh, the economy, right. The economy, the fake economy that's based on a money system that's based on interest-bearing debt that's destined to fail as soon as the resources run out. You mean that economy, you know? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're destroying everything that is Australia in order to support a corrupt financial system, and they're saying they're doing it for the good of the country.
Mm.
Oh, it's good for the country. Well, it's not good for the country. It's good for the politicians, okay? And it's the same with their national security. Oh, we need to suppress this information because of national security.
Mm.
Well, hang on. The people of the country are the nation. You and I, we're the nation. They say national security is to support the nation, but it's not. It's to hide political corruption. That's what they call national security. You know, because if the people found out how much we're ripping them off, well, the nation wouldn't be secure because they'd be up in arms and want to overthrow the government.
Mm.
That's their concept of national security.
Well, we're disarmed now, Max. So what are we going to do? Go out and knife them?
Well, you know, we just need the numbers. We need the numbers. We need a strong community so we can just basically stand up and say no.
Mm.
Peaceful civil disobedience, lawful rebellion against the corruption that is running this country. See, we've forgotten that we are the controllers of our government. They're public servants. Julia Gillard goes to office and she swears to serve the Australian people. She's not doing it. She's serving international mining companies.
Mm.
So, you know, we need to realize this is what's happening. But our communities are kept divided. They're kept divided by design. Keep the people fighting amongst themselves so the rich people can keep running to the bank. It's like what George Carlin said.
Yeah,
that's exactly
right.
What it is. You keep the middle class and the lower class fighting amongst each other so they don't notice that the upper class is stealing everything from them. That's what they're doing.
It's a good way of doing business.
Oh, absolutely. just great plan. Very, very simple plan happens to work.
All right, listen, we're going to come back. Max, we'll put on this song by The Difference by Jay Dilla, and we'll come back. There's something that's just come up. It's called the labor camps. What's going on there? So Max has got some interesting stuff, what's going on about the labor camps. Stay tuned. We've got Max Egan from the Crow House. Here it is, The Difference.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, there's a difference. You listen to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We have got Max Egan on the radio. Max Egan?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, sorry, Max. We've got some song in the background. It's just, yeah, there we go. Now, Max, we're talking about the these that's come up on the news of these labour camps, and there's one in Sydney in a suburb called Dundee, I think it is.
Dundas,
is it? Yep. Now, who's involved with these labour camps?
Oh, it's a Scientologist. Scientology labour camps. It's where they send their kids if the kids misbehave. And they got these kids living in cupboards and under staircases and in rooms with dirt floors, working, you know, 35 hours a week when they're 8 years old for no pay. It's basically child slavery, which is what we expect from Scientologists. I mean, and they're right there in the middle of Dundas. God knows how many there are in other cities. But there's absolutely no law in New South Wales which prevents you from working a child 35 hours a day, I mean 35 hours a week. You can have child slave labour in New South Wales because there's no law against it, you know, which is quite amazing in itself.
So it's got a child sort of like, this is like a childcare centre for Scientology.
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, if your kid's misbehaving or they need training, it's like a training camp sort of thing. You know, if the kids are being hard to get along with, they send them there to this special school to be trained. And it's just basically child slavery. And it's child labour camps. It's like third world conditions for these kids. And, yeah, that's what they're doing. So Scientologists right there in the middle of Sydney.
So they've exposed this on mainstream news as well. You've got it up on your website.
Yeah, it's on Today Tonight. Not that I place any faith in Today Tonight after what they did to Chappelle Corby.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a camp that's right there in the middle of Sydney, and people need to know about it. I mean, this sort of stuff needs to be taken in hand. You know, if you want to. Become part of some religion written by a science fiction writer, that's your issue, you know. But if you're going to destroy the lives of children in the process, well, it's our issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, people need to know what's going on with these sort of cults.
Well, that's good.
And it is a cult. Scientology is absolutely a cult.
Yeah, it was made up in the university by Ron Hubbard. Yeah,
L. Ron Hubbard, he was a science fiction writer. As far as I'm concerned, the best science fiction he ever wrote was when he started writing Scientology books.
But, you know, Max, a lot of the Scientologists in Sydney are quite supportive of some of the things I've been involved in, which is, you know, awareness about problems with psychiatric drugs. And I've had to be careful about not just really alienating them, because there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are just, they just seem like ordinary nice people. And it's actually a really tricky subject. This is a really hard one to handle, because I've actually put on film nights and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Scientologists who've come along have spread the information around. And the film I showed was not made by a Scientologist. It was a documentary made by an excellent filmmaker.
Yeah.
But the point is that I've spoken to some psychiatrists and some psychologists, and they say, you know, you need to work with these people to the extent that they are actually on board with certain things and not just totally demonize them. Mm. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I think, I've got something to say about that. Yes, that's very good that they're going against prescription drugs and stuff like that, but they have their own labor camps for. They have their own drug rehabilitation centers.
Okay.
So in that sense, as a cult, I have no trustworthy in anyone, especially if they have these labour camps. I've done interviews.
But do you think they might be subject to the same sort of propaganda we've seen about Chappelle Corby and other subjects? I would be very distrustful of what you're going to get from commercial television.
Well, it's not commercial television. I've had them on this radio station before, where I've had people who known and have been actually breeded into these cult, right, and they've exposed themselves. And they've said about what they do, and they've done it. And this is not in Australia. This is in America. America's huge on this. And they are. That's how Anonymous actually started. The group Anonymous started with the fact that they will not be silenced from the Tom Cruise thing, and it all started from this Scientology. Now they've branched out and whatever so. But you've got to look, you've got to have a bit more look in this, because the fact is prescription drugs, yes, is a big pharma or whatever so, and yes, Scientology is great at doing that, but the fact is that they're doing it for their own stuff. Max?
Well, I mean, like you say, it's great that they're speaking out against prescription drugs. I don't trust any cults. I don't trust any religions. I think
exactly
people's need for religion is just a
power.
It's because they can't find themselves, and so they turn to a group which is quite happy to take everything they can from them and mold them into their way of thinking and turn them into a good little cog in their big machine. Mm. That's what I see all religious groups
I guess
like.
I have but to say I disagree
I mean,
with
I,
that.
I say the same thing about Catholics. I mean, it's there's little difference between any religious cult. Mm. And they're all cults. As far as I'm concerned, the whole Christian religion's a cult. All
and
of these
the definition of a cult. But they're more an occult. You know, a secret body within themselves, and Scientology.
Yeah, so look, Scientology, and look, Scientology is a cult. I don't care. I mean, and I find any religion is cultish in the sense that if people in that. The people bowing out to other people who think that they have authority over you.
Well, I'm going to take a contrary view because I really do disagree with that.
Well, are you in the cult or?
No, I mean, look, I've been involved in the 9/11 Truth Movement, and a lot of people in there are Christians, and you know, I disagree with this attitude that a lot of people have. Mm. I know where it's coming from. I've met a lot of atheists. I know a lot of people who just say, religion's crap. Mm. And I sort of understand where they're coming from. But if imagine you're a Christian and you're a 9/11 truther. It's incredibly insulting. Mm. And we're talking about division and how people are being divided. Mm. This is one way in which people are being divided. Mm. And it's real. And Zeitgeist did it as well with their movie. Mm. And basically, a lot of these people who are religious are not just robot zombie members of the Catholic Church. Mm. They're Christians or they might be Buddhists, and you know it is their religion, yeah. And I try to respect religious. I practice religious tolerance, so that's my position. You know, and everyone's free to have their own view on it. That my view is, I practice religious tolerance.
Yeah, look,
there's two different words here we're looking at. Yeah. There's cult, which means a lot of people getting together and practicing the one thing, and then there's the occult.
Mm.
And that is what Scientology is, the occult. They are secretive, and they've got these kids in a camp, and isn't that called abuse?
Yeah, of course it's child abuse.
Well, where are the police?
Yeah, well, exactly. Look at Docs. Go, Max.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm tolerant of religion. I mean, as far as I don't have a problem if you're a Catholic or if you're a Christian or whatever. The thing is that I've never met a practicing Christian. No matter what religion they belong from, I've never met one single person who calls himself a Christian who actually follows the teachings of Christ and acts the way Christ did and leads and follows the example that he set. I haven't met one yet in my 54 years of life. I think a religion, I mean, a cult is a small, unpopular religion, and a religion is a large, popular cult. That's what I think the difference is. And I think that people look for salvation externally when they don't need to. I think that salvation lies within. And I think that if people simply live their lives in respect of others and treat other people as themselves and follow the one law, which is to do no harm. Mm. That's all God's law is, do no harm. Mm. If people live their lives like that, then the whole world would change. But religion is created to divide them. You know, I'm this denomination, you're that denomination, so therefore we're different from each other. That's the whole purpose of religion. A great quote by Napoleon said, religion is to stop poor people from killing rich people.
Exactly.
That is the purpose of religion.
That's exactly right.
Do you agree that atheism is a type of religion too, Max?
Absolutely. I mean, I believe in God. I believe there is an ultimate creator, but I just don't believe in the Christian concept of God. I mean, yeah, the religion of atheism.
It's the other
religion,
side. It's
the religion of having the religion of attacking religion, you know. It's all the same, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, atheists can be very kind of dogmatic and quite extreme and sort of intolerant in their attitudes.
Well, of course they are, because I've had it on this show. I've had atheists on this show, and they say, we don't die. We don't have any soul. Well, how do you know that? You haven't died yet. You have no concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And most people who are extreme atheists are ex-Catholics who went into a nunnery, whatever. So like, I have nothing against Christians. I have a lot of Christians who listen to this show.
Yeah.
I've had Franco Collins come on. He talks about like what Max said about Jesus. A lot of people who speak about Jesus, are they practicing that? We've got some phone call coming through, but it's all right. But the fact is that I have nothing against Christianity. Yes, there's a lot of loopholes and there's a lot of judgment and whatever, so, and, you know, whatever. But I've never been indoctrinated with Christian, and I've never had an experience of believing in Christianity. To me, I find it,
I think, personally, I think I have a great relationship with God, and I think that the purpose of religion is to prevent people from having a real relationship with God and helping them have a relationship with the church instead.
Mm. That's true. Someone's written there, if you lie down with the dogs, you get up with fleas. Scientology, sorry. But, all right. Well, listen, we'll go stop there. We'll come back. Max, can you hold for a sec?
Hold.
Cool. We'll come back. We're going to talk about... what your new website that's coming up there, Harold, that I distracted you from before we got on the show.
We can talk about that after the break if you want, or we can talk about it now. Up to you.
Yeah, cheers. Oh, we'll better go on the song because they're listening. Yeah, just hold on there for us, Max. Where it is, Skid Row. Here it is. This song's going out to the Natural Capitalists because... No, actually, this is going out to... Actually, not the Natural Capitalists. This is going out to a friend of mine, called Shardcore, who does it from Monday to Wednesday, and he loves metal, and this is where metal starts, Shard, and it's called Kiss. And I remember doing a show once, and someone rang up and said, this is what funk metal is at its best. This one's going out to Shard. That's Kiss, As Easy As It Seems. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We're here with Max Egan from the Crow House. And, I still can't get this. There you go. I'm having difficulties. Right. Why I've got difficulties here on the radio station is because I'm doing it through the same sort of signal with Max on the end of there. Now, we were just talking about about religion. And the Zeitgeist movement there, Harold, you're really disturbed about it. The Zeitgeist movement has come in with the 911 truthers about 3 years ago, and you think it's a religion in itself. It's a sort of a global sort of...
Okay. The first Zeitgeist movie came out in 2007, yes. Right?
Max, you there? You there, Max?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep, cool.
Now, the first Zeitgeist movie came to prominence because of its material on 9/11. That was the thing that made it a shoot to the top of of YouTube and Google video because it had this information about 9/11. It was quite well put together, right? But it was divided into two halves. Well, the first half was all about poo-pooing religion, basically presenting a scientific atheist kind of a alternate philosophy of how the world should be. And then it moved into the 9/11 issues, and then got into some of the stuff about, you know, the monetary system and Aaron Russo and the Rockefellers and how they're trying to take over the world and turn it into a totalitarian global world government. But unfortunately, you know, because this message in Zeitgeist One was really saying anyone who has a religion is crap, right? It actually completely divided a potentially unified movement of people who were looking for a new investigation of 9/11. Because all those people, and I've met a lot of them in America, are totally alienated by what Peter Joseph has done. Mm. And there's millions of them, right? And so you've got a totally divided, alienated situation where you've got one big group over here and another big group over here that won't have anything to do with each other because one feels that the other one's totally insulted them and degraded them.
Mm.
And the other one's saying, well, you know, you're just not evolved enough and, you know, you've got to wake up to the higher truths and, you know, you're stuck in your primitive religion. And so this is a classic situation of divide and rule. And that's why a lot of people have thought Zeitgeist was a COINTEL creation done specifically for that reason. I'm agnostic on that question. I don't know whether that's true, but the way it's worked, the way it's actually unfolded is like that. It's created this divided situation. It's really unfortunate. And this is what continues to happen again and again with social movements. They become divided. And I do really have questions about Peter Joseph's. I really do, I have
to say. Well, he was in marketing. He had that hypnotic sort of... Zeitgeist did open up a lot of avenues for people and sort of, you know, in the sense of about 9/11, which was great, and about the sort of the money system, the religion system. What do you think about the Zeitgeist movement, Max, of how it's formed, the Venus Project, Jacques Fresco? Is it sort of like sustainability, the smart meter? It's all happening?
Look, I completely, I'm totally against the Venus Project. I think it's absolutely rubbish. It's basically technocracy. You know, we had this presented to us, you know, nearly 100 years ago. They tried to present the technocratic view of the world. And they put out all these beautiful pictures of these futuristic cities and all this stuff. And it's just technocracy in a new wrapper. That's all it is. As far as Zeitgeist goes, I mean, a lot of what was said at the start about the astrological roots of Christianity is absolutely true. I mean, you can go and look and find it, and it's all there. And it's there's way too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. I agree with that.
The way they presented it when they insulted people and they said it's doubtful that Christ ever even existed. I mean, this is just not the way you unite people. I believe Christ existed. I think he was the prophet in the Dead Sea Scrolls. He was the rebel priest in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That seems to make perfect sense to me. Mm. But hey, I don't know. I wasn't there. It was 2,000 years ago.
Mm. So making
blanket statements the way they did in Zeitgeist was absolutely counterproductive. And you're right. It served to divide something. I mean, you had a movie here which could have had the potential of uniting a lot of the community, and they drove a huge wedge into the middle of it. And I don't think that was the right thing to do at all.
And with the whole Jesus Christ thing, they do say he didn't exist. And like you said, we don't know. I mean, I go on the little fable story because my mum wasn't into Christianity. I like the sort of story that Jesus Christ was Julius Caesar's son and he came back to conquer Rome and they damned him for it. I don't know if that's true, if he was Cleopatra's. a lot of Christians don't like me saying that. But, hey, look, stories are stories, and his story is whose story. But...
Well, there's a lot of evidence there to show that there were links to Egypt. I mean, there's a lot of evidence. There's a hell of a lot of evidence, folks, to suggest that the biblical Abraham was actually the Egyptian pharaoh Amenemhat.
Yes.
I mean, there's a tomb there in Egypt which has got some very, very telling inscriptions in it, and it's the only tomb that you're not allowed to go into.
Well, there's some people saying that Moses is King Tut. Who knows?
Moses would appear to have been Thutmose III, the pharaoh Thutmose III. It's a very, very controversial topic, and you can look into it as much as you want. you'll come up with your own conclusions, and depending on the information that you've looked at.
Yeah, exactly.
But ultimately,
it was 2,000 years ago, and we can argue about it all we like, but if people would sort of lift their eyes up from the printed page and look around them, they're going to see that there's a real situation here right now that needs your attention, folks. Stop dwelling and arguing about what happened 2,000 years ago. Let's just agree to get along with each other and address the situation we've got now, because the world's heading to a very bad place because everybody's distracted and they're all arguing amongst each other about things that are completely irrelevant.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing with the left-right paradigm as well. Oh, I'm a socialist. Well, I'm a capitalist and all that sort of thing. The main thing is that we're poor, and these people who are in power have completely set up an apparatus of law and everything else to make sure, and like you said, with religion, to keep us fighting with ourselves and keeping us away and playing football with each other.
Well, they've set up a legal apparatus. They've replaced that which is lawful with that which is legal, that which has been legislated.
It's
they've legislated actual law almost out of existence. And now we've got the will of politicians in its place.
Yeah.
And they believe they can do all this stuff because they wrote it down on a piece of paper. You know, and we're heading for a very, very bad place. I mean, the situation here in Australia is outrageous, and people just aren't noticing it. I mean, we've got one of the highest costs of living in the world in this country. Our whole country's being destroyed for coal seam gas mining. We've got Julia Gillard now putting Gestapo on trains for us, just to keep you safe. You know, well, who's going to keep me safe from the police? You got these gangs of armed thugs walking around. That's all the police are. You know, they're just armed thugs enforcing corporate regulations on people. They're supposed to be there protecting society, and all they're doing is intimidating society. Now, you toe the party line, or we're going to put you in a cage, you know, and we call that government. You know, we call that government. I'll write these rules down on this piece of paper. I'll put a fancy letterhead on it, and if you don't like it, I've got these guys going to put you in a cage, and you can't charge me for anything because I wrote these other rules on this other piece of paper. That is our system of government. It's ridiculous.
Max, we're going to talk about Herald's new website. What's your new website there, Herald? You're talking about the backscatters, what we're having here.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Let me explain. Before you came on, Max, I was describing the situation with the body scanners now being introduced in Australian airports. And we've been told that they're totally safe by the government. The type of scanners that they're bringing in are the millimeter wave scanner, which allegedly is safer than the X-ray backscatter. Now, there's so many problems, though, with the use of these machines that cut across different types of problems. There's a civil liberties issue, there's a privacy issue, and there's a health issue. And so it's like a nexus of some of the most important struggles that we're involved in at the moment for freedom and, you know, opposing the totalitarian New World Order. So because this government has now said, well, they're going to be brought in and you will have no opt-out. So when the machines are operating, they will select people randomly for scanning. And if you don't want to be scanned, well, you won't fly. It's as simple as that. So
I'll be requiring a refund from the airport if they say that I can't fly.
Well, what I want to do is focus attention on, you know, what we can do to actually oppose this. And I'm thinking about civil disobedience. I'm thinking about collective action. I've started a website, wewillnotbescanned.org, which is currently up. I've only just created it. It's still a bit buggy, but it's working, and I'm going to keep working on it. Now, it also links to a Facebook group, which was created by a friend from Western Australia, and the Facebook group is Australians Say No to Body Scanners at Airports, and that group has been up for a few days. There's only 124 people in it as yet, but I think we should get thousands and thousands of people in this Facebook group. I want to use the website as a hub for information about scanners, and we really need to collect all the information we can get about the health aspects, about what's going on, and we also need to promote activities and actions that we can do to oppose it. And the type of things I'm thinking about are obviously approaching your local MPs and politicians. Just hang on a sec, Jim, just let me finish. We want to organise actions that might be involved in speaking to your members of government, but we also want to engage in actions that will involve directly going out to airports We want to engage in some civil disobedience, but also promoting the information that we have at airports. We want to get T-shirts printed. We want to have flyers. We want to go out to the airports and give information to passengers so they know what's going on. And at some point, we want to stage some kind of civil disobedience event. That's going to be a little difficult. And I know that airports are private property, so technically anything you do on there, you can be whisked out by security almost immediately. But that's why when we do it, we need to have people with cameras filming everything. But I want to have at least three cameras running so that, because, you know, if there's only one person with a camera, they'll take that person out first. So you need a person with a camera, another camera on that guy, and another camera on those guys, right? So everything can get filmed. Because there could be scuffles and we could be treated very aggressively by the airport security. Even just by going out there and spreading information, they won't even like that. So that's what I'm doing. The issues with the scanners about privacy, civil liberties and health, each of those is a really deep issue, and I could spend like an hour talking about each subject. But I'll just give you the floor, Max, if you want to, you know, comment on any of that.
Well, look, I think the main issue with it is health. I really do. I think these things are incredibly damaging to DNA, and they've been proven to be damaging to DNA. And it's just not on. I mean, everything this government's doing is not on. And to me, all this comes back to the Chappelle Corby case, because the Chappelle Corby case exposes government corruption for what it is. And you say, well, hang on, this is the same government that's putting in these body scanners. You know, I mean, if this case shows the corruption that we're dealing with at the absolute highest levels of our government, of our security, of our police, and our airports. So, and now we've got these people coming in and imposing this legislation on us. So, you know, I really see the Chappelle Corby case as a tool we can use to expose government corruption from the inside out. And we'll stop things like body scanners and coal seam gas mining by default if we can just get this information into people's hands.
Well, the issue about health is that the body scanners that they're bringing into Australia are not the X-ray backscatter type, so they do not use X-rays. So what the government is telling us, and there is some, you know, some evidence to indicate that's correct, is that these are certainly safer than the X-ray backscatter. But that's why I really want to do the research, and we really do need to provide the evidence to the travelling public if we have it, and we need to find it. So we need to find scientific studies, and we need to be very clear about what that evidence is about the dangers. But equally important to me, and really not to be neglected at all, is the civil liberties aspect of it, because people are being forced into these machines where they have to basically stand with their hands in the air, right, like that. Like you're being arrested, like you're a criminal. Mm. So it is actually criminalizing ordinary people. And this is being done in a situation where these are paying customers. These are valued customers of a business, business being the airport and the airlines. So you're treating valued customers like they're criminals, okay? Now,
well, it's actually a breach of the slavery clause of the Australian Criminal Code. I mean, according to Section 268 and 27 of the Australian Criminal Code, 1995 Commonwealth, it says that no individual may be compelled by any other individual to perform any task or action that is against their will. You know, so if anybody's compelling you to perform an action, the first thing you need to ask them is if they're a slave trader. And if they say they're not, and say, well, I intend to hold you fully accountable for your actions if you wish to proceed past this point. If you're demanding that I do anything, I require your name and badge number, and I will be pressing charges against the man within the uniform, not against your company. Not against the police force, not against airport security, but against you, because you have a moral obligation and you also have a duty to uphold the law of this country. And the law of this country says that you cannot compel me to perform any task against my will. So if you wish to go forward from this point, I'll be seeing you in the High Court.
It's interesting that these scanners are there. They're going to start, if this goes really well, goes domestic, then it'll go into football stadiums. Then it'll be everywhere. Go to a shopping mall, going to a nightclub.
Restaurant, anywhere. Yeah. Anywhere where there's people, same logic, same reason could be used.
Just get
Jim's been desperate to say something.
Yeah. No. The consequences of microwave being used on pregnant women and people who have devices in their body and to tell them that they're not going to fly unless they put those devices and that fetus at risk.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to read to you from the government health and safety sheet.
All right, we're going to wrap it up in 3 minutes, yeah?
I'm going to read to you from the government health and safety sheet. I'm just opening that now.
Yeah.
It's coming up right now. Okay, millimeter wave body scanner. So basically, this is really throwing down the gauntlet and basically saying, you're completely wrong, Jim. This is what the government is saying. Millimeter waves are part of the radio frequency spectrum. Other parts of the radio frequency spectrum are utilized by many devices in everyday public use, such as mobile phones and wireless network devices. There is no evidence to suggest that millimeter wave body scanners or other devices in this frequency and at the power density used by scanners are a health risk for traveling public or the operators. How the millimeter wave body scanner works. The L3 ProVision millimeter wave body scanner works in three stages. 1. A weak beam of radio waves is transmitted at the person being scanned from two rotating masts inside the body scanner. The masts contain transmitting and receiving antennas. The exposure of individuals to electromagnetic fields during a scan is very short and does not exceed 2 seconds. 2. The energy reflected by the body or any other object on the body is received by the machine and analyzed by the unit's software, automatic threat recognition algorithm, to detect anomalies such as those produced by items detected on the body or inside clothing. 3. When an anomaly is detected, a small box indicating its location is superimposed on a generic human image or stick figure that is displayed on a monitor for analysis by screening staff. Exposure levels. People being scanned by the L3 millimeter wave body scanner are exposed to exceptionally low levels of electromagnetic energy.
Fantastic.
These levels are thousands of times lower than that of a single phone call and comparable to passive exposure to a mobile phone used several meters away.
Yeah, they use the mobile phone thing, don't they?
The United States of America Transport Security Administration has stated that the technology emits 10,000 times less radio frequency than an average mobile phone call. My God, I mean, this is just like, you know, it's like mother's milk. It's so sweet and delicious and lovely. Okay. However, there's more information here to read. They will provide medical exemptions for people with extreme medical conditions, right? So maybe it's not quite like mother's milk, because if it was mother's milk safe, you would not need an exemption for any medical condition, would you?
Wow.
So they have said extreme medical conditions, you can get an exemption. However, you're going to have to prove that it's an extreme medical condition. They're saying that people with implants are safe. Now, I have a friend who has an implant. His name's Josh. He's done a lot of Truth News radio. He's actually got an implant. And I'm going to get him to find out whether he is actually exempt. Because he has an implant, he actually has a pacemaker. Now, if it turns out that he is exempt because he's got a pacemaker, that says to me that it's not totally safe.
Exactly. All right.
Absolutely. They contradict themselves by their own rules.
That's crazy. Max, you can get Max Egan on the crowhouse.com. If you don't know, just Google Max Egan or crowhouse.com. Max, thank you for that. And Harold, what's your website, your new website coming up?
WeWillNotBeScanned.org.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Max, thanks, mate. And we'll speak to you soon, man. And Jesus, we went for an hour. Take it easy, mate.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye-bye, mate.
All right. Well, let's go. We're going to a song. We haven't been to a song for a while.
Look, I ain't never been afraid to tell how I really feel. Nunca. I think everybody should know that. Yo creo que todos ustedes deben saber eso. Fucking ought to know, yo. I gotta tell these chicks a lot of times. Mira, tú estás actuando de una manera muy mala. Bien mala. Y no me importa, ya. Yeah. So I gotta let you know. Let them know. Here we go. Diga a la gente, dude. Gotta let you know. Real. Son, drop that. siempre me encuentro con la mujer equivocada. A superficial mommy con la alma comprada. Yo, I'm sick of stupid chicks que hablan de nada. Let's go to my house, conversación acabada. Yeah, we can fuck, but you gotta go after mañana. You walking bow-legged,
porque te dejé clavada.
Don't ever talk shit about niggas and get enojada. There's a reason that you never been properly amada. Cause you fuck niggas and suck dick como si nada. Para la porquería and save the drama. Don't come to the fucking club con una actitud mala. You've been drinking too much Bacardi and smoking Lala. Escúchame, señorita, if you don't respect yourself, don't expect respect from anyone else. Nah. Don't expect an hombre to support you with wealth. Go to college and be successful. Do it for Delph. Nunca vas a hacer shit without knowledge yourself. Mommies with cultural ineptitude are bad for your health. That's the type of mujer that I put back on the shelf and go back to the packed crowd to look for somebody else.
Adios.
Check it. We keep it moving properly. No me importa lo que haces, ain't no way of stopping me. Moving through property like I owned every monopoly. Smoking broccoli, compartiendo ideologies. Pero solamente pasa on a special occasion with beautiful, intelligent mommies to stay blazing.
Stay blazing.
Out for you motherfucking niggas. Yo.
See.
Immortal technique, the resurrected Che Guevara. Yeah. But y'all cats are just a bunch of fake Tony Montanas. I bring drama like Revolución Cubana and rock stages like my last name was Santana. Como puedes comparar your entourage to my squad? You motherfuckers is faker than Resurrection Boulevard. I'm trying to be hard, cause I don't stress fake good fellas. I'll burn your house down and empty the clip. And tu abuela, mucha gente try to convince everyone that they tripe. Hablando mierda, but you never shot a gun in your life. Siempre gritando, how you keep it real in the sight? But most of you rappers can't even keep it real with your wife. I sacrifice a puto cabrón for running his mouth. Carjack and kidnap you in front of your house. And while you're tied up by the shotgun while I'm driving down south, I'll push the pedal to setenta and kick you the fuck out.
Bueno.
Solamente to look back and have something to laugh about. I doubt you really want technique as an enemigo. Fuck with me, I'll make your people turn up their zapatecido. My estilo is Tupac Amaru y Zapatista. I'm a rebel soldier murdering rap artistas. Colombian necktie MCs, hasta la vista. Taking over the fucking country like a socialista. Cobardes, yo. We keep it moving properly. No me importa lo que haces, ain't no way of stopping me. Moving through property like I owned every monopoly. I'll blow your fucking brains out and spread your philosophy. This is for all the celoso motherfuckers that's watching me. I don't make threats, bitch. Lo que hablo es prophecy.
Toda la gente sepa que no me importa cuánta mierda usted habla.
Cuánta mierda.
I'll still be on my job.
Ever.
Still be here. Still be doing my thing.
Para claro siempre. Que sí.
Siempre.
I'll be in everybody's parade.
Immortal technique.
Se ha acabado la mierda.
Yeah, all right, there it is. No me importa. Immortal technique. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. 28 degrees today. It's going to be sunny. It's the only sunny day for the whole week, for the whole month, maybe for the whole summer. This is the day where you want to turn your cars back and go back home. Because the fact is, this is, and I heard there's a lot of chemtrails going out there for, we've got people ringing up. Jim, give us what you were saying before.
Well, I think these devices.
We're just getting back into the scanner issue, Jim, and you're an expert in, well, you've got a degree in science. And a
couple of degrees.
So you know a little bit about the technology behind body scanners. Can you just elaborate on that?
It sounds like they're either using X-ray or microwave.
Well, the ones they're bringing in here in Australia are using microwave spectrum scanners. Yeah, it's called the millimeter wave scanner.
Well, I can't see it being all that good for you. And I can't see it being all that good for people with monitoring devices in them, such as pacemakers, defibrillators, and the like. Okay? Another thing, what's it going to do to fetuses in the mother and an expecting mother?
Right. Well, it says here that the levels are thousands of times lower than that of a single phone call. And passive and comparable to passive exposure to a mobile phone several meters away.
Yeah, but who's setting these things up?
Well,
who's
and this
doing
is their
the job.
Yeah, we have to trust this, of course.
Are we putting PhDs on every one of them to make sure, you know, someone with degrees in physics to measure the the microwave or the radar devices.
Exactly.
No, we're putting Joe Blog off the street to work these things with a few hours of instruction.
Because microwaves can cook you. I mean, you can cook your dinner with microwaves.
They thousands and millions of homes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The reason why they didn't use the word microwave is because a lot of people would be scared by that word. They use the word millimeter wave because it doesn't sound so scary. But basically, that indicates that we do have potentially a technology here which is dangerous.
It's abusable. It's abusable.
Yeah.
In that the people that were hiring to do it are getting paid $10 an hour.
Yeah.
And that's not the level a PhD would work at.
Absolutely.
You know.
I just want to bring up the privacy aspect of this again as well, because this I haven't even touched on this today, but the government is telling us that the operator will only see the stick figure, right? But the reality is that these machines are cameras in one way of looking at it. They're taking a detailed picture of your body, and it can actually be like a, you know, almost like an X-ray picture, but it's a very detailed picture of the contours of your body. Now, the government has said, well, you know, this version of the machine, the person viewing it won't be able to see that. They'll only see this stick figure rendition. Now, there's a whole bunch of problems with that. Firstly being that in order for the machine to work properly, this algorithm that it uses to automatically detect whether you are carrying something has to be incredibly sophisticated. It has to have an incredible amount of artificial intelligence. And what they've actually found with the machines that they've tested in Europe is that it doesn't work very well. It gets all these false alarms. So the only reasonable way to make it work properly is to have a human watching it to actually look. But even then, it doesn't work that well. In Germany, they had a 50% false positive rate when they tested this, right? But that was with people actually looking at it on the screen. But when you've got an automatic algorithm that's trying to calculate, you might have a bit of tissue paper in your pocket, and it's going to say that that's something, right? So this software that they've got that tries to detect things, also, if what they're saying is true, it won't be able to learn, because if it was keeping the image and you could say, well, actually, no, that was a false scan, so don't save that, it could then learn. But according to what the government's telling us, it's never going to save any image, so it's never going to get any better at what it does. So if the government is telling the truth, it means these things are going to be hopelessly incompetent and unable to really detect anything and giving false alarms all the time.
These machines, even in the United States, they're a joke. Yeah. People are walking on to airplanes with fake bombs to show people that it's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. They generate false alarms, but they also let a lot of stuff through that they shouldn't. They fail on two ways. Yeah. They react when they shouldn't, and they fail to react when they shouldn't.
Interference from the atmosphere around them.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to a song. We'll come back. I've got a this is good, right? We are, your website there is going up on thecrowhouse.com.
Thank you.
And it's good stuff what you're doing, Herod. Thanks, God. Look, we got the guy from Darwin. I want to give him a call. He's got interesting stuff to talk about, what's going on there, about Serco, about Indonesia, about the industry, the beef industry, about Woolworths and everything else. So just stay tuned. Listen to Radio Skid Row. And here it is. This song, I have no idea, but it's called Crazy.
Well, my name's JB. I'm representing Tonga from DYC. Many area, bro. That's all I represent. Yo, check it, I'm William Vaca, and I'm from DYC, Manly,
awesome.
And Skid Row rocks.
Sup, it's Yoni. This is Skid Row 88.9, and if you ain't listening to it, you're just crazy!
88.9, boys!
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah.
See yourself to the time standing a baby. You can never have a relationship without feeling. Timely. What you dealing? Baby. See me say it's called her. Question.
What you want from me? Money up. You want sex or city? What you want from me? Chain full of ice like free. You don't want something hot like me. What you want from me? We can let me and we don't clean. Baby, so you're free. Sex drive or the S5 is legit time.
Africa, you're magical.
C-L-O-V-E, capital.
But you no love me, you love life. We put you up front like floodline. Me say champagne, no bud line. Me say plane fly, higher high. We love you by nature, not by chance. You love loneliness, it was my time. My style, my fashion is nice. My passion is twice. My passion of crime. What you want from me? Eat money up. You want sex or city? What you want from me? Shade full of ice like fridge. You don't want something hot like tea. What you want from me? You can't let me, we don't play. Baby, so you free. Tell me what you want. You know I said nothing no free. Something for you, something for me. Lifestyle, picture perfectly painted. How interior decorated. Kitchen and bathroom fittings, gold plated. But still her love is tainted. Me remember when mama said,
take time to know her.
That mean get acquainted. Your love no sacred, so love turn hatred, and bliss became dread. What me want from you? Move with a straight head. Give me love, that would be appreciated. Yeah, even if it is belated. Yeah, yeah, me my friend. Let me ask you again. What you want from me? Eat money up. You want sex or city? What you want from me? Chain full of ice like fridge. You don't want something hot like me. What you want from me? You can't let me, we don't plead. Baby, so you free. Tell me what you want. You know I said nothing no free. Something for you, something for me. What you want? Me sex drive. Is legit time or is it lies? When you looking at your magical eyes,
see L-O-V-E, capital I.
But you no love me, you love lies. We put you up front like floodline. Me say champagne, no bud line. Me say plane fly, higher high. We love you by nature, not by chance. No love loneliness, it was my time. My style, my fashion is nice. My passion is twice, my passion of crime. What you want from me? Eat money up. You want sex or city? What you want from me? Chain full of ice like fridge. You don't want something hot like. Kitchen and bathroom fittings, gold plated. But still her love is tainted. Me remember when mama said,
it's time to know her.
That mean get acquainted. But your love no sacred. So love turn hatred. And bliss became dread. What me want from you? Move with a straight head. Give me love. That would be appreciated. Yeah, even if it is belated. Yeah, yeah, me my friend. Let me ask you again. What you want from me? Eat money up. You want sex or city? What you want from me? Chain full of ice like fridge. You don't want something hot like tea. What you want?
Yeah, there you go. That song, I have no idea. It's someone requested that I putting on some really crap music out there this morning, and I don't know why it's crap music. Thank you, Michael Collioni. I know he's a big fan of ours. Hello.
Hello.
I can hear my. Can you turn the radio off there, Darwin Bourne?
I don't have it on, mate.
Oh, don't you have it on?
I'm getting kind of broken up feedback too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
What's that?
I wonder.
Because I'm in a military town.
It could be just cross feedback or something.
Can you? Have you got any other files open or anything like that?
What did you ask?
Have you got any files open? Like have you got the radio station on stream?
No, mate.
No. All right, well, listen, Darwin Bourne, listen, I wanted to have you on. You're from Northern Territory, and you've got some interesting stuff that's out there. Actually, it's coming through better now, what's going on in the Northern Territory, but more anything about what Woolworths is and the Northern Territory intervention. I guess we'll start off with Northern Territory. How would you explain what Northern Territory is at this time at the moment?
That's actually not an easy question, but the intervention, my experience with the intervention, and I actually was on country at the time. I was in Arnhem Land when the intervention was announced, and I was involved with the building of a women's healing centre out there for the people, and essentially. Any kind of native title or any kind of self-governance that the majority of the people had in the Northern Territory when the intervention was brought in was extinguished through the extinguishment of the Racial Discrimination Act, and the government appointed a different group of people to oversee the implementation of the intervention, and if you go and have a look at who the actual people are, it's quite interesting to see that it's people that are actually involved in the corporations that have become the intervention itself.
So the intervention's virtually Woolworths has a big a thing in this, in the explanation of the why. It's the corporation that has everything, like liquor, foods. It does have poker machines and stuff like that. But they've got these, like the basic card thing, which is where you get the pension or from the government, where you're shopping from one shop, and it supplies everything. Sorry?
The basic card's something that's part of their electronic system that they've been moving towards for almost 30 years, and this is both Woolworths and Coles combined. I was very fortunate at a very young age to be involved with a court case where I won't go into the details, but yep. They were forced by the Industrial Relations Commissioner to table certain plans. It actually came about, I think, because some of the people that were involved in the case with me or for on behalf of me, they were earlier involved with a case regarding the Spastic Association, where the supermarkets used to employ retarded people, and they made it part of their advertising logo that they were an equal opportunity employer and they employed retarded people. But essentially they had them all pushing trolleys, and what they neglected to say was the government was paying them, I don't actually remember the figures, but I think it was $400 a week for retarded people to be employed, and they were paying the retarded people $280 of that $400. And they weren't giving them workplace opportunity, they were getting them to push the trolleys. So I don't know if anybody would remember back then, but it was quite commonplace.
Yeah.
And one of these fellows was involved in that court case. So as part of that precedent that was set in regards to that, that had something to do with my case. So they had to table this thing, and they had this 40-year plan. And the 40-year plan was to turn the supermarkets completely electronic and to get rid of all of the living people in the system. And to cooperate with other conglomerates to localise all of the services, so water, power, electricity, telecommunications, and banking would all be available, and liquor and pharmaceuticals would all be available and accessible through the supermarkets, and essentially there'd be no more family-owned stores, which was the go back then in Australia. So that was that was the beginning of it, and ever since then, in that court case that I was involved in, there was something like 20 company executives that were called to testify, and as all of this, I was only a young boy, but as all of this was going through, the people who were representing me, they knew these people well, and a lot of those people back then, they were in Coles and they'd been on the Woolworths boards. And these old fellas that knew what was really going on, they explained everything to me, that they're all in bed together and laid it all out. So I've been watching it since. And as I said, I was on country when the intervention happened, and I've been watching the supermarket very, very carefully for the last 25 years. And I've seen what they've done in regards to the food and to the getting rid of the people. Now, here in the Territory, specifically here, they've brought people here from other countries, or the government's allowed them to come out here on working visas, and they're working in the stores. Now, a majority of them come from India, and when I say India, if anybody's ever been to India, you'll understand India is an enormous country, and it has an enormous diversity in its population. There's people in India that look Asian, you've got the Nepalese people, there's all the people from all over India, they're not all just one model. So it's not always easy to see somebody and identify them as Indian, but I associate with some of these young people and they're all Indian. And in India, they have a perfectly bonded community, which means that the people essentially that are of the lower classes have to work. This is part of the political infrastructure. It's supposed to be abolished, but it's not. The lower classes have to work for the higher classes. And what they do is they bond the parents so that the grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to work to pay off the debt. So in other words, the parents might start work at 20 and they have to work till they die to pay off a debt to the boss. And the debts are usually just in regards to food or housing, very, very small amounts of money. But it's a personal thing, and they bond them by making sure that the money that they pay back never ever pays, like that they work and the money never pays off the debt. So they in turn they bond their children to repay the debt, and so they've bought. Very few of these people that are working here in the supermarkets are of the lower class, but there are some, but the majority of them are of the upper class. And so these are people who are used to having people around that have no rights. They don't have any problem. Like in Australia, we were supposed to have had a system where, as a consumer, as part of a market economy like America, you are the actual investor in the company and you do have rights. And If they break your rights, you have the right to go to the corporation and say, I'm not happy with this product or I'm not happy with this service, and it can be dealt with. But with these Indian people, it's not like that. And India is a beautiful country, and I've travelled right through India from the very, very bottom to the very, very top. And the majority of the people are beautiful. But the majority of the people are poor too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So they get employees with get no rights. Harold, you got something to say?
Oh, no, I just agree with everything. I mean, it sounds horrendous. Yeah. I'm totally on board.
Yeah, so with this Woolworths doing this, the Codex, now, we all thought it went away. There was this, you know, a billion people will starve, but they're very quite underground. And you're seeing Woolworths and Coles, how they're selling organic food or free-range food or chickens or eggs or whatever, so, and it's a complete deception.
Well, they have a few sections, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, I sent you a couple of links before, and I'll just pull that Woolworths one up, and I'll just read it out, because it like all of the wording on all of their sites is extremely deceptive.
This is the website from the Woolworths website.
Okay.
It's the Woolworths website
homepage.
And click on the organic or on food, and you come, and it's got macro whole foods, and you go to the organic section, and I'll just read it. It's only short. And at the very top it says organic in fancy writing, and underneath it says, organic means no added chemicals, pesticides or herbicides, kind to nature without the need to hug trees. And then underneath it says, macro whole foods market organic range of products are produced without the use of chemicals. They are also certified organic, meaning they are produced with the environment in mind and using sustainable farming practices. It clearly says that it's what organic is. Now, it's given the meaning of organic above it, and then it says what their organic products are. They are produced with the environment in mind and using sustainable farming practices. What the hell does that mean? That's what all farmers do, whether chemicals or pesticides or not. It doesn't. It's essentially allowing them to put whatever they want in the packets. And if you read, and it's not on all of their packets, they do it selectively, but if you go through the aisle and take the time to actually read all of the different macro organic labels, it will say on the back of some of the labels, these products are what we say they are, but from time to time, because of flood crisis, world crisis, economic crisis, they will be substituted with something. It might be international food or lesser greater food or whatever it is. Mm. But essentially what that does is it allows them to produce whatever they want to produce, and they can put dog shit in the packet for all they care.
Can I just ask, Michael, is it?
No, it's Darwin Bourne.
Oh, Darwin Bourne. Okay. I've got a question. I actually shop at Woolworths because there's hardly any other shops around, and I just have a big one right near where I live. Mm. And I never used to shop at big supermarkets, but I do these days. There's a lot of sections in there that say Australian produce. And do you know anything? Because someone told me that this is also not quite true, but there's a lot of, in the fruit and vegetable section, under they have proudly, it says proudly Australian produce, you know, Australian made. Do you know anything about that? Is that true? Are they lying to us about that?
Well, I can't say in specific instances, but what I can tell you is there is a barcode system that identifies where the actual food, or is supposed to identify where the food comes from.
I'm talking mainly about fruit and vegetables here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. There should be stickers on the fruit and vegetables, like the oranges and the obviously grapes can't be stickered, but if they're in a bag. But where there's a barcode involved with the fruit and vegetables, I don't actually have the thing with me at the moment, but there's a system that identifies which country they come from, whether they're organically grown or not.
Right.
And so I'm pretty sure that that's available. It's on the internet. You just put up produce barcodes, Australian produce barcodes, I think is the thing that'll come up. But I mean, I can find it at a later date and send a link over to you so that you can circulate it. But essentially, the problem with the Woolworths thing, I mean, I can sit here with you for, you know, hours and go through all the different problems. But really, what it comes down to is finding out who the people are behind everything. And if you go and have a look at there's the former CEO of Woolworths and some of his subordinates and counterparts from Coles formed a corporation called Prime Ag. And Prime Ag was designed to take over primary production land in Australia and internationally too, if they wanted to. And they were going to produce food for the supermarkets, being that the supermarkets own 70% of the food trade in Australia now. So
70%.
If you go onto the Woolworths sites, or you just do a little bit of investigation for yourself, you can see just how broad-reaching their arm is. Like, they're involved in hotels, they've got banking licences, they've got telecommunications licences. And if you go and look at the intervention, for example, the former CEO of Woolworths is a fellow named Roger Corbett. And I'll just read, if it's all right, I'll read a little bit of Roger Corbett's who he is and what he did. He's a managing director of Woolworths Limited from January 1999 to September 30th, 2006.
Yep.
Mr. Corbett served as the chief operating executive of Woolworths Limited since July 1998, managing director of retail since July 1997, and managing director of Big W since May 1990. He's been involved in the retail industry for more than 40 years. He has been chairman of Fairfax Media Limited. Since October 13, 2009, he serves as the chairman of the ALH Group, which is a hotel group with poker machines, which is their main thing, and alcohol and hotels. He serves as the chairman of the Salvation Army Advisory Board. He's been chairman of the board of Maine Pharma Group Limited since January 27, 2011.
Well, you're saying that Woolworths is involved with the Salvation Army as well?
Yeah, if you go to if you go to their homepage and you look on their community thing, they've got a community link there. I'll just bring it up.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And this Colbert is unbelievable. So he's invited Woolworths to own pretty well much 80% of all the poker machines, runs the Salvation Army, hotels management and stuff like that. It's incredible. We talk about sort of one sort of world government, one seed, one corporation. Woolworths is really hitting the fucking straps. Excuse my language. It's just incredible. And now they're in the electronic stages where they're giving out basic cards, you're saying, that they own as well, or have a pie of this.
Well, they own the basic card system, and the whole point is to get, and why they've done it in the Northern Territory, because we come under the Commonwealth government here, and they've done it under the forced intervention.
Yeah, interesting to say, the intervention is the basic, so intervention, the Northern Territory intervention is the intervention of Woolworths as the one-shop stop, right? Because the fact is, a friend of mine who ran out of food, right, actually, when you're talking about the Salvation Army, a different sort of organisation that was helps for the needy, gave them a Woolworths card for $30 vouchers. So is there anything else? Is Woolworths part of Serco? Is Serco getting involved with Woolworths?
Well, you've got Serco and the mining companies here essentially when I was doing the majority of the work in the country, they were providing their own food, but now they're going into business together, and Woolworths essentially, well, they own all the food in Australia, or they control the markets, or they control the marketplace regulation. Because if you're the biggest buyer, and now they're the producer as well as the wholesaler, you're regulating the marketplace. The regulation's up to you. Yeah, you can say what you want about government and stuff like that, but I mean, you only just have to start reading about, you go through and look, like at the beginning of the intervention there, or prior to the intervention, or just read the pre-intervention thing here.
We've got about 2 minutes, Darwin Bourne. Harold's just going to say.
I just want to make a point about the intervention and the basics card. I went to a lecture last year by there's some big protest groups here against the intervention.
In Bankstown, there was something.
And I went to a big lecture. There was a lot of people there, and they provided a lot of good information. It was a good event. However, the people that are involved in this Stop the Intervention groups, in my understanding, in my mind, they don't fully understand what's really going on here. They're framing it, and they see it as purely a racist agenda, that it's purely racism against Aboriginal people. Now, that is a big part of it. I don't deny that, and I think it's terrible. But that is actually just a wedge. That is just the thin end of the wedge for a type of system that is going to be way beyond just being, you know, persecuting Aboriginal people or being racist in its nature. But they always bring in these systems to basically test them out on minorities. And I really think that these people who are in the Stop the Intervention need to understand so that we can form a bigger movement against this. Because at the moment, and I actually tried to bring this up, and people just didn't understand it. They didn't realize that this is actually part of a global government fascist New World Order movement within our society generally. And everyone needs to understand that this basics card is moving out of the Aboriginal communities. They're already testing it in parts of Sydney and Bankstown. They're actually using it. And they've said, the Labor government has fully said, that they are going to roll it out as a universal thing. They tested it on the minorities, and then the minorities are saying, oh, you're persecuting us, and everyone thinks, oh, it's just a thing about Aborigines. No, it's not just a thing about Aborigines. And that's, again, it tends to create this divided situation where we don't realize that we've got to unify against a threat that is actually equally threatening everyone in our society.
Yeah, we've just got about a minute. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Well, Roger Corbett, he's on the board of the Reserve Bank, the private Reserve Bank, and anybody that's got a bank account has your card number is your enemy combatant number issued to you by the bank through the state. So they've declared war on all people. Roger Corbett's on the Reserve Bank, and the intervention is all about rolling it out to the rest of the nation.
Thanks, mate. Listen, Darwin Bourne, we could have to get you back on. You've got so much interesting information. Thank you for coming on Workers Radio Sydney, Radio Skid Row, and we'll hopefully can get you back next week.
Good man.
We've run out of time. Cheers, mate.
All right, take care.
Cheers.
All right, that's it, guys. Thanks, Harold. Thanks
Jack.
Jim. We've got Democracy Now! Coming up.
We will not be scanned.org.
We'll plug it all next week for you. See you, guys.
And that concludes our rebroadcast of Radio Skid Row's morning program from the 16th of February 2012. And you're listening to a podcast from Truth News Radio Australia, which you can find at www.truthnews.com.au. Thanks for listening.